Welcome to Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. Let us begin this week's lesson with the Lord's Prayer, followed by our pastor's sermon. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our gospel reading from the sixth chapter of the gospel according to St. John. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which our ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching at the synagogue in Capernaum. When many of the disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning that there were ones that did not believe, and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you, that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom could we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of our Lord. Sisters and brothers in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let me begin this morning by talking about the sixth chapter of John for just a second before I reflect upon it. In our tradition, along with most of the mainline Christian churches in the world, follow a schedule of readings called a pericope. That schedule of readings is 3 years long, and it is utilized so that in 3 years, we Christians have an opportunity to reflect upon the major themes of our faith. It also enables us to know that on this Sunday, across the world, faithful children of God, sisters and brothers in Christ like you and I, are hearing the same words from Scripture and reflecting upon them. Now, if you've been around here the last several weeks, we have been stuck in the sixth chapter of John. This is the fifth week in a row that we have read from this one chapter in the Gospel of John, which suggests to us that those who put the pericope together find this to be one of the more essential texts for us in our faith life together. And so today we come to what even the disciples found to be difficult, if not offensive. One summer, my family was camping along the Oregon coast. We spent day upon day in a fruitless effort to find one respectable seashell. Our collection of battered sun dollars and pieces of clamshells was indeed a pitiful sight, but my young daughters did not give up. In spite of our failure, they continued to look for seashells. It was finally the last day of our camping trip. We had been in a tent for over a week. We had been on every beach from the south of Oregon to the north of Oregon, and we had failed every day. So we set out that morning to try our luck. While we were walking alongside of an eddy that flowed between a small sandbar and the beach, we were wading in about 2 feet of water. As we got out into that eddy, our eyes got big, because there out in the bottom of the eddy was nearly 24 perfect sand dollars. My 8-year-old screamed, "Jackpot!" Now, where she got that phrase, I'm not sure. But she'd learned it. The ocean had a surprise for us, a gift for us that was, you see, a perfect end to our vacation. Let me suggest this morning that the gospel has a surprise for us. And no matter how many times I stumble upon it, I am still amazed at this wonderful and gracious gift, this surprise that comes to us from the Gospel of John. One comes to know this surprise through signs that point us to the things of faith that make a difference. The sign of a cross is just one sign. Even though we know it to be a common sign, even though we use it as jewelry and we see it in our churches and it's embossed on our Bibles and we wear it as jewelry, it's a common sign, but it's still a surprise. It is still something that catches us off guard when we reflect upon it. We know that sign at its very inception is one that represents us at our very worst. We know that the sign of the cross at its inception is cruel. We know that on that cross we put Christ to death. It's on that cross that we inflict suffering and pain. Yet in the cross, common as though it may be, there is a gift. A gift that can fill our lives with hope and with promise. Promise because, you see, we have a Savior who gives himself for us. A sign of God's love. A sign for us to proclaim all that God has given to us. Now, while the cross is the central sign of Christian faith that we can point to, so also is the bread and the wine of communion. This brings us to the 6th chapter of John and the surprise that we find there. Because you see, the bread and the wine of Holy Communion point us as well to the cross. Because it is in that meal that we share that we find Jesus giving up his body and blood, that you and I might find forgiveness and healing, that you and I might find the strength to carry on, to live with hope in a God who will not let us go. Now, last week in worship here, we recalled the story of how the people of Israel had hungered in the desert. They were starving in the desert. And we recalled how it was that they were sustained by manna, that strange bread that God sent down from heaven. This bread sustained and nourished them. But in our remembering of that story last week, we heard Jesus say this, and he said it again today. Those people died, yet Jesus says, "I am the living bread from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread shall live forever." Surprise. You may eat of the bread of life and inherit the promise of God. This bread is not like some wonder bread that's all promise and air. It's the real stuff from which God delivers life. When Jesus spoke of himself as the bread of life, the response of the disciples was, "Well, how can this be?" Surprises are sometimes hard to comprehend, aren't they? They're hard to believe. And yet, as we come to the communion table, that's the promise that draws us near. And at the same time, we may wonder, how is it that bread and wine can hold this promise? Recognizing that it isn't just bread and wine, but it's bread and wine with the word of God and Jesus' word to us. Eat of this bread and you will live forever. And we may come to this table feeling unworthy of such a thing. Other times we may come to this table and just be indifferent. But Jesus promises us that in the eating and the drinking, we become part of him. And that in some mystical way, he is in us and we are in him. Now, Martin Luther once said that the beauty of Christianity lies in the pronouns. As we share the meal with one another, as we partake of communion, we hear these words, given and shed for who? For you. Given and shed for you. Bread and wine with the word of God given for you. Now, this is both a very deeply personal statement, but it's also communal. As we come to this table as a family, these are words that are meant precisely for you and for us. God's love, God's forgiveness, God's grace is for you. In spite of all that we've done to not deserve that, it's a moment too good to be true. It is a surprise that catches us off guard if we reflect on it. We may well squirm in our seats to hear that God quite specifically, quite personally, quite precisely loves you, but it stands as Jesus' promise. Because in his life and death and resurrection, there is this good news, this promise, this gift in the bread and in the wine, in the words for you, we find that promise. As we receive that promise, we're drawn into an intimate relationship with God. Jesus says, I am in you and you are in me. But this surprise does not happen privately. It takes place in community. This new life that is God's gift to us, this bread of life, it breaks down all of the barriers that keep us apart. Because you see, all are welcome at this table. All who believe that what Christ did, he did for you, can find nourishment by this bread, both personally and as a family. Now, what would a family celebration be without a meal? In our family, we've celebrated birthdays for, oh gosh, a couple of decades now with a birthday cake that I make that is known simply as the cake. What would Thanksgiving be without the turkey, or Christmas without that special dish? These meals that we come together to enjoy, shape and form who we are, much more takes place at that table than merely feeding our faces. We share feelings, we air disagreements. We catch up on new things. We're bound to one another in a way that can never happen quite the same any other place. Our bodies are nurtured to be sure, but our souls are fed as well. So much happens at those tables, and so much happens at this table. So much. Much more than we can realize. Here we are fed, we are blessed, we remember what God has done and is doing at this table. And at this table we are appointed elsewhere as well. This bread of life that binds us together and reminds us that we're not alone. We're a part of something much, much bigger, strengthened in our sense of family and faith and community.
Thank you for listening to the weekly Our Redeemer's Lutheran podcast. We publish weekly Wednesday mornings, and it contains the previous Sunday's gospel reading and pastor's sermon. For more information about our church, please visit www.ourredeemerlives.org. Weekly services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Sunday mornings. Thank you for listening and have a Christ-filled day.